Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. The goal of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community, and you'll understand why we want to emphasize the issue of diverse members of our community as we get into today's program. We want to address how today's choices affect tomorrow's community, and in some cases, the long-term ramifications of no changes, no choices, and what that does to our community. And we actually get to talk about a topic that I would say is generally seen as ordinary, except for when you look at it this way, and that is charities and how charity groups function and work, and how sometimes they can think outside of the box with regard to being less than traditional in their philanthropic focus. We are going to deal today with an organization called MUST. I need to spell that out for you because if you spell it the way you want to spell the name of an organization, it does sometimes will make your spell checker on your computer go crazy. It's M lowercase UST exclamation point charities. And if you put the exclamation point on the back end of it, it then makes charities capitalized, which they don't want to do either. On their letterhead, it indeed has MUST charities, both uncapitalized. We'll find out at some point today why that's the way it is, but that's what it is. In a short period of time, a bunch of people got together, business people, community people, wanting to look at some ways to be able to focus funds through from the business community and the larger community, in this case, originating in North County of San Luis Obispo, to really work with other charitable organizations to build them up and to, in some cases, work with those charitable organizations on learning how to better build themselves up. So not just a group looking to fund other charitable organizations or nonprofits and community-based organizations, but how to look at how that is done generally. So today we're not necessarily going to talk about just what MUST does, but we're going to talk about why they do it and how they decided to start in the first place. My guests today are Becky Gray. She's the executive director of MUST Charities, along with Kyle Womack, and she is the special projects coordinator for MUST. And Terry Hogue, who owns TH Estate Wines, formerly known as Terry Hogue Wines, but we can stay away from that, I guess, too, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
If you want to hear a bunch of trademark law.
Yeah. Trademark law, yeah, anyway. And he is one of the founding members of MUST, and we'll get it out of the way just now because we've promised everybody it will stay off the table, and that is, yes, this is Terry Hogue of football notoriety, and we are not going to talk about football today. Terry only agreed to come here if I agreed not to talk about football. I told him that was a silly question because I know nothing about football.
Neither do I.
but so that's we've now set the tone for the show a little bit here. Want to remind you this is a call-in program. If you wish to call in, the phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. You don't need to call in with questions. You can call in with comments. You can call in with observations or experiences. And I would encourage you to do the following, though, and that is if you want to call in, please call in as early in the hour as you can because we usually see one or two calls come in when we're down to maybe 5 or 6 minutes and we really don't have time to squeeze them in. So we want you to really have a chance to be part of that discussion if you want to be. This is Community Public Radio, KCBX, and you are our community, and we are yours, and so we want you to be part of the discussion. You know, there are a lot of philanthropic and charitable organizations in any community. I think for the size of San Luis County, we probably have more than most because we have a very altruistic community generally. A lot of people, though, look at, oh, gee, this is a charitable organization that I donate to all the time. Their cause is cause X for a medical problem or a developmental problem or some humanitarian problem. And then we've historically through the years, since I know I'm the oldest person in the room because I can look around, one of the big organizations like that, which was pooling resources for most of my youth and young adult days, was United Way. United Way is still an organization around, but their focus has changed to being less of a catch-all organization and more of a focused organization. So somewhere in this mix, some folks in North County, San Luis Obispo, got together and said we should do something a little differently. So by the way, default, Terry, your peers here have basically said, since you're the guy that knows the most about the organization's founding, maybe we'd start there.
All right. Well, we can do that. I don't know the year we started, to be honest with you, because it's been quite a while. I want to say 2008, 2009. There was a group of winery owners, myself included, that got together and wanted to do some type of event, kind of like an auction, and raise money, much like Napa does in the Napa Valley, or you go to the Atlanta, the High Museum event. A bunch of wineries support that. And we started talking amongst ourselves, why is it that we are asked to fly all over the country, donate wine, donate our time, travel for all of these charities across the country, and yet in our own backyard, we don't really take care of ourselves. And so we're looking at how to put together a dinner auction kind of thing. What we found after years of probably 2 years of investigative conversations with people around the country, was the problem with creating an event that funded something was that you then created something that required the event to fund it. And that's not what we wanted. We wanted to find a way for everybody who's involved to have a say, to have something of value in the conversation, their time, their money, whatever, and find a way to best put the money back into the community so that the community could then heal itself. So we decided that we didn't want to raise money for one thing. What we wanted to do was have an organization that called the community together, got input from everybody. People were all stakeholders in that they had given time or money, and then find the things that needed to be dealt with in, for us, what was North County. Mm-hmm. It was a very difficult sell at the beginning because people would always ask, what are you raising money for? Well, I mean, we've raised money for Big Brothers Big Sisters. We've raised money for the Boys and Girls Club. We've raised money for ECHO. We've raised money for CASA. Mm-hmm. Because we've partnered with all of those different organizations and tried and asked them, how can we help you provide more services to the community? And that's really the essence of what MUST is. It's a group of people that through lending expertise, raising money, or just helping charities with their organizational structure. We've had charities that needed to have a board retreat or somebody come in and help the board reestablish what the board was supposed to do. We have lawyers that will help do legal stuff. We're not just a charity. We're more of a clearinghouse of ideas and money. Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to pipe in
here.
Yeah,
please do. This is Becky, the executive director. You'll recognize voices after all.
I think it's good to note that in the beginning, too, these five winery owners who were having conversations about what are we doing with philanthropy in our own backyard and how are we taking care of the people that we rely on to do business here in our own backyard. I think it's important to know that they recognize that the wine industry was the largest economic engine in this county, and yet there was no cohesive giving unit behind it. And so that is really the premise of why these folks got together.
We originally were trying to think of ways that a company could use and leverage its own goodwill in raising money, not necessarily from the community itself, although we do ask community members for money, is that we wanted the business people to figure out how they could best attract money from outside of the area and then put it into the philanthropic world of North County or SLO, because there is in the world of philanthropy, much like probably any other business, the haves and the have-nots, and people are very protective of the section that they've carved out for themselves. Mm-hmm. So early on, we had to put out a lot of fires because a lot of people thought that we were looking to move them out of the way. And we're really not. What we're looking for are organizations that are providing a service that's greatly needed in our community, and how can we help them improve the amount and quality of assistance that they're giving.
Yeah. Let me give you an option. Since it's focused, your original group is focused mostly on wine people.
Correct.
Because that is the largest, most visible industry in the North County, especially of San Luis Obispo, but in the broader county, probably other than government agencies,
right.
Is in agriculture, is indeed the wine industry. Wineries, historically, in my observation, I lived in the county for over 40 years, but my observation is that wineries, even though they tend to be very generous, they're generous with things that they contribute to at auctions. We'll find in silent auctions and live auctions a selection of wines all the time. They tend to not be very verbal about it. There are probably organizations in this county that are giving away a tremendous amount of their production to charitable giving, and you don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think to some extent that may be my observation as an outsider to your group, is that that may have been a key factor for you guys to start talking about, was the fact that the industry was already generous, but generous people who are silent oftentimes do not help build other generosity. If I know that a good friend of mine is contributing to a cause, and I can contribute also, if I know they're giving, I can then ask them about it. If they only give anonymously or they never even tell their friends about it, I don't necessarily know about that organization. So
right.
My observation would be one of the things that you started doing was make the winery industry in San Luis Obispo County more visible as a philanthropic force to basically deal with things about. I mean, we see there the local hospitals, the local buildings that are part of medical and needs organizations have people's names all over them.
Right.
I still remember the names of the people who gave to the building at the cardiac center in San Luis Obispo at French Hospital, because I was looking at it from a gurney looking up.
Right.
I mean, but those are the names that we see everywhere, and those are wonderful people. We don't see the names of wineries. We don't see the names of wine people. In North County, because it's not a secret, I live in Atascadero, and I live within 5 miles of your office. Or the Must office, is that indeed I see cars in the North County that have your little sticker that just says Must with an exclamation point on the back
right.
of it. And if nothing else, that gets people wondering what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you've taken over a role that I think is existed to some extent, but not existed very visibly.
Well, I think it existed certainly across the country. Was one of the things that I talked about earlier was the fact that the wine industry gave away a lot across the country, and they were vocal about it. I mean, they did want their name attached to that. They did want the marketing from that piece.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I was pretty passionate about at the beginning was that this was not for your own ego. This was kind of a citizenship duty. To be involved in your community.
I actually had to force them to be able to create a listing on our website I had to convince them of that same point that you were just trying to make, and that it's not that it's self-serving, it's that it helps me get more donors, because someone's going to see Terry's name on board, someone that respects Terry, and say, oh, okay, I respect what he does and who he is. I wonder if I can get behind that cause as well. And it was hard. It was like pulling teeth a little bit
to get
them.
Especially if you were using me. But yeah.
to get them to put their names out there to help us grow our organization.
And we, my organization doesn't really advertise the fact that we give to Must, other than when you walk to the tasting room, there's a Must sticker. And I think someplace in our in
they're
the
not
verbiage,
very big either.
No, this
you
is
need bigger Must stickers.
This is something that my wife and I do, and the people that work for us participate in, because we feel it's important to be involved in your community. It's just like voting. You know, if you don't vote, you can't complain. If I don't try to help, you know, I can't grouse about the problems that we have. And there's plenty. I mean, we've been able to tackle some things that we didn't think we would ever be able to. I'm talking about the echo in the and low budget housing. I mean, we didn't think we would ever be able to participate in helping low budget housing. And that's the nice thing is, you know, I'm probably giving about the same amount of money that I used to give. But I used to give $1,000 here, $2,000 there, and I never felt like what I was doing was actually making a difference. I didn't know what the money was being used for. And that's the great thing about what we do for people is, like, if they participate in giving money through Must to whatever organizations were focused on at the time, they can know that their money is being leveraged, that it's being watched, and what was the other thing I was going to say?
And that 100% of it's going back to the community directly.
One of the biggest things that we decided early on was that the executive board had to cover all of the overhead. So our executive board covers Kyle's salary, Becky's salary, rent, and anything else, so that the people who are donating, the actual charitable donors to Must, 100% of their money is going to go directly to whatever cause we're working on.
Which is probably one of the most common questions you would get, because one of the first thoughts I had, and a few people who knew what the program was going to be to talk about, was like, gee, Must has a couple of paid staff members at least. I said, yeah, I think so. And they said, well, then how much of their charitable giving goes to paid staff and how much of it goes to charities? Because one of the things we've seen a lot of nationally is top-heavy charitable organizations.
Well, and I think that that's what makes it so appealing to a broad range of people, because your bank account doesn't necessarily dictate the impact you'll make by giving through Must. So we have people that are in a place in their lives where they're giving $50 a month, and we have people on our donor base that are giving $10,000 a month. And no matter who you are, 100% of that goes right to the project collaborations, which I think is appealing to people like me who are more on the $50 a month side. Because I know 100% of that, it's making a difference. It's a small difference, but it's a difference. It's very focused, and that's what I like about it.
And you have a company that's gone in and vetted all of the charities in the industry. I mean, how do you know who you want to give your money to? How do you know who the best one is? Who's making the most impact for the amount of money that they're taking in? And that's one of the things that we do, is we have a group of people that go in and actually vet all of the charities that we're thinking about working with, so that we know who we're working with and what their strengths and weaknesses are.
And are they serving the greatest need in the community, which is one of our values, that we want to be serving the greatest needs.
So one of the things that was a foundation issue for you guys was, how do we build community confidence in who Must is?
Right.
Because that becomes a key factor to work with.
It was very important that our first collaboration be successful, because that was the one thing that we were going to be able to hang our hat on as we went out and asked for more money. And we partnered with the Boys and Girls Club in North County in Paso Robles. And Becky was instrumental in that, and she can tell you how just a little bit of help from us put them in a position where they could serve so many more kids.
And I think the biggest thing to note is that, you know, it's easy to invest, like you were talking about earlier, like a hospital or a university, because you see a building go up, you can see the impact, you know that thousands of lives are going to be through this building and affected in a positive manner. Investing in social good is really difficult because, number one, results aren't coming right out of the gate. And number two, you really have to do a lot of research. And so that's kind of what we do for our donor base. So we do the job for them so that they can invest in social good in their community, and we do all the work.
We've always said, or I always have said in meetings, that must would be successful if in and of its, if it never brought any money in directly through must, but we were able to generate people donating to these organizations that we've vetted that are doing good work. You know, if people say they don't want to give to MUST, but they want to give to the Boys and Girls Club, well, great. We're supporting Boys and Girls Club, yeah, or the food bank, or mm-hmm, or CASA, or any of these
I do suspect, because I went to your website and looked at it, as I try to do with all my guests beforehand, is and looked at the organizations that you're currently supporting, because you talk about ones that you have supported. You don't support a million all at once, or mm-hmm, or 50 of them. You focus right on three or four. So I suppose if I didn't want to give you my money, but I wanted an idea of what organizations were worthy of getting my money, I could look at your list of who you're currently endowing, if right you will, and say, gee, I trust MUST to look at this, and I'll go with it. And you may never see the money.
Right.
But
right
the organization might see it.
And we've had that happen many times where yep we've directed people to organizations that we're working with just because they wanted to donate to a particular cause at the time and it wasn't what was on our plate. But we had vetted people for them and we were like, yeah, absolutely. If you want to give money to this organization, it's right a great organization.
And it's moving the needle, which is what we want to have happen. We right want to move okay the needle.
Good point. We have a few people waiting to talk to us. Let me go to the phones here. Let's see. Eric in Atascadero. You're on the air, Eric.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Eric Gobler. I am the president of ECHO, and I'm just joining you, so I don't know all of the conversation that you had, but
Eric, we haven't mentioned you yet, so you're probably okay in the conversation at the moment.
Okay. Well, I just want to say on behalf of ECHO, which is a homeless organization in Atascadero that serves all of North County, we are so grateful, Becky, to you and the MUST organization. It has been a tremendous blessing to ECHO, and we are beginning to see the fruits of the support from MUST. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome.
By the way, while I have you here, just spelled out, what does ECHO mean?
ECHO is the El Camino Homeless Organization.
Okay. I wanted you to say that because I've had a number of people say on occasion they have no idea what ECHO is because they've never seen it spelled out. So
it's the homeless organization. It is the shelter is actually located in Atascadero, but we serve the North County area.
Okay. All righty. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
As an example, so what was your vetting process to decide that ECHO was one of the organizations that you wanted to fund?
It was a long process, I'm going to be honest.
Well, okay.
It was almost a year and a half that we vetted ECHO. And again, we're statistically driven. So we're looking at what are the biggest social issues that our communities are faced with. Homelessness happens to be at the top. It's something that it's in our face on every corner now almost, it seems like, especially in Atascadero. And this organization has been around for 15 years, ECHO, and they started off as an all-volunteer organization. So a group of community members saw the need, felt the compassion to give back, and formed a shelter. They used to hop around from church to church. They are now in what's called a growing pains, and hence why MUST Charities is involved now. Because here you've gone from, over the last 15 years, from an all-volunteer organization, a board who's spending the night chaperoning, doing everything, no staff, to now having 6 or 7 full-time staff and a board that is still not sure how to let go. And so we come in and we leverage a lot of business expertise. So we've hired some consultants to come in and help them transition through these growing pains so that they can then go forward and move and continue to do great work in the community and serve those people to the best that they can.
So you're not only writing organizations a check, in some cases that indeed is what you're doing, but you're also providing them with resources that they can use some of those funds for to better understand them.
Right. So we... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that something that in the early days that still holds true now is that it's not about MUST throwing money at anything. It's really about educating and helping the collaborators become more sustainable. And that can happen. Yes, money can help in that, but it's not a band-aid. The idea is we come in front heavy on our dollar piece so that they transition out of having must right next to them. And when we leave, they're sustainable. They're funding there at the same place. It's not a band-aid that then we leave and they say, oh my gosh, how are we going to make up the rest of that money? It's a process.
Which goes back to our idea where we didn't want to do an event because the event would fund something that then mm-hmm. something would need funding. And we want this organization to stand apart from that, and that we're willing to raise money and give expertise and help in all of those ways. But at some point, we want to be gone. We want to be out of the lives of the people. And we might come back for something in the future, mm-hmm. but there's a definite time period over which we're looking to infuse monies and help.
Right. Okay. And when we give a check, so like our most recent partnership with Echo, the commitment was just under $500,000 or just at $500,000. No. Yeah, $500,000. Sorry.
How many zeros? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I had to think about that. But it's not all given at once. So it's a course over 4 years with them specifically, and it's quarterly installments. They create benchmarks that they know they're going to meet each quarter. And when those benchmarks are met, then we give the next check. So it's really holding them accountable to do what they say they want to do with the money. And we're just there to foster that. Okay.
I want to revisit that, but we've also made Tom wait a long time here. So Tom and Shell Beach, you're on the air. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hello to all the folks at Must Charities. My name is Tom Dobbins. I'm the board president of CASA, and I've been listening, and God bless all of those folks at Must Charities. They changed our organization by giving us such a substantial boost of almost $250,000 to be paid over 4 years, and it gave us wings and enabled us to help more abused and neglected kids in the county. So we are so grateful for everything that they are doing for us and have done for us in the past.
Okay. Tom, while I have you here, you can't get away that quick. You did your thank yous, and that's terrific. what did they work with you on that was different than just saying, gee, we can help fund X?
Absolutely. Well, we have a pretty simple business model. The more money we raise, the more kids we can help. And we are helping a little over one-third of the 500 kids in the foster care system. I think where Must Charities came in is they dared us to believe that we could be a bigger organization and help more kids. Boy, I'll tell you, it was a tough process of applying for it, but also I would say it was a tough process for our board to look themselves in the eyes and say, we're going to get this money over a period of 4 years. But someone said earlier that they want us to be sustainable so that we rise to a different level and help more kids. But at the end of their four-year assistance, we've got to have built the infrastructure that we are raising that amount of money. So they put us ahead 3 or 4 years in our ability to help kids. And with that, it was more advertising. We have a North County event that we did on June 3rd that raised almost $80,000 of new money in for us, and we just grew up as an organization, and they helped us. It really changed our whole paradigm of our organization.
Okay. Awesome.
Give me the numbers again, if you will, of how many kids you have that you could potentially help and how many you currently help. I have an ulterior motive for that, and I'll get to it in a minute. But go ahead.
Okay. There are approximately 500 kids in the foster care system that are waiting adjudication by the judge as to their future. They've been taken away from an abusive or neglectful situation. Right now, we are helping about 170 kids, 165, you know, as cases come through the court system, it varies. When we started with Must Charities, about 180 kids were in North County, and we were helping about a third of them. We were helping about 60 of them. And they said, if we give you the money, what will you do with the money specifically for North County? And so we said over a period of 4 years, we will double the number of kids to where we will help 120 of the, if it will remain static, the 180, or two-thirds. So we would double the impact, and as Becky said, move the needle. Right now, I'd say that we're a little over 2 years into it, and we're almost approaching 100 kids there, and we are ahead of schedule by every measure that they have given us to be accountable for. So those are the statistics in the county.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you why I asked that, because I'm not only am I familiar with CASA, but I have my best friend from the last 40 years of my life is a CASA volunteer in Los Angeles. And we had a conversation about the program there versus the program in smaller communities. There are currently 35,000 kids eligible for having a CASA in LA County that need them. And they're based upon their base, they can only serve 2,000 kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know what's special about our county is that people step forward. All the money that Must Charities has raised out of the community, people want to move the needle. They want to make a better place to live. It's a more focused effort. I'm out and speaking to groups about once a week, maybe three times a month, and people come up to me afterwards and say, "How can I help?" And it's not just the money. But it's the volunteerism, and that's right now where we are. We need more volunteers. There's a class that's going to be starting in October. You can go on our website, slowcasa.org, and take a look. But we train you. It's about 30 hours of training, and we are moving the needle in our county. And I, like I said, we're so grateful to Must Charities. I think Terry's there today, and Kyle and Becky, and they've become our friends. So, you know, thank you guys again for what you've done for us.
You're welcome.
Tom, while you're on the call, for the record, I'm not picking on L.A. County because the conversations were that their biggest barrier is not funding, but their biggest barrier is getting enough trained volunteers, mm-hmm. and they work on that constantly. And that's probably one of your biggest barriers is getting volunteers trained, competent volunteers trained to do the incredible work of CASA.
Yeah, you know what? It's really interesting. We have two challenges. One is the funds, and the more funds we raise, another supervisor we can hire that's a paid position that can oversee 30 volunteers. So we either need to raise money to get another supervisor, or once we get the supervisor, we get more capacity, and then we can go out and recruit more volunteers. Yeah. And right now we're in a position where we need more volunteers. That is the biggest need for CASA. So if you're listening out there and you want to help a kid, we will help you and get on to slowcasa.org. And, boy, we'd love to have you love on a child.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Tom.
We really appreciate it. Okay, thanks a lot. Take care.
Yeah. So both of our callers who are both part of programs that you've
been
involved in, it's fine. It's okay. I'm not picking on you for it. Anyway, they both brought up what is probably a recurring theme of what you've already said, which is you're not throwing money at stuff. You're trying to build long-term commitments to growth and understanding the community.
Well, and to better deliver services. So, I mean, every nonprofit out there, including our own, there's improvements to be made. And sometimes it takes a different look, different expertise, different resources, and money to deliver those services in a better way, in a new way, because a lot of things work well when you're one size. And then what we've seen is these organizations grow and the same methods that worked 10 years ago, 5 years ago, they're not working anymore. And trying to look at it in a new way can be a challenge.
Especially when you're on the front line working for a nonprofit, your head is down and you're so overwhelmed with the workload that you don't have time to actually step back, look, and dream. And that's kind of what we bring in, is the opportunity to look at a bigger picture. We're fresh eyes coming in. We ask questions. A lot of times, like, for instance, with CASA, with that vetting process, they actually came to us and asked for a really small amount of money. And we were just kind of laughing, going, what? Like, I don't think you understand what we do. And so then we went back to them and said, let's sit down and have some conversations now, because, yeah, you are servicing one of the biggest needs in our community. But let's have a conversation about what are your goals? What are your dreams? And then they had to come back to us. They said, wait, well, let us work on this. And then let's come back. And then they came back 6 months later and said, we've had time to dream. And then we moved forward from there.
Okay. I think it's the same thing you could say almost for the Boys and Girls Club in North County, mm-hmm. and also for the food bank with Food for Real Kids.
Yeah,
and that was a program I was really excited about because it was the first Real Food for Real Kids with the food bank. Because that was the first time that we had ventured into an arena that we weren't fully cognizant of everything that could happen and what we could, how well the process would work.
And right.
Becky, would you tell them?
So the food bank came to us and they wanted to have a designated children's program. They'd never had one before. They had like a warehouse manager who was piecemealing a little bit of time and then an admin assistant who was piecing some time all to serve kids. We've got 1 in 5 kids in the North County who are living at or below the poverty level. And so what used to happen with kids at that level was when they're in school, they would have the ability to qualify for free or reduced lunch. Well, summer school went away, and no one was supplying free and reduced lunch during the summer when they're not in school. And so the food bank came to us and they said, hey, we have the ability to work with the USDA and actually come in and be a food service provider for summer feeding programs. We have sampled this. We've piloted this. We feel like there's so many more kids we need to serve, but we just need that boost to get us there. And so they showed us this business model of it's just a typical business model. When you service more people, your cost of goods goes down. Well, USDA's reimbursement rate was the same, so they had this pie of funds that they actually could make, which could then sustain themselves with a children's director who could be a full-time person year-round salaried position. And so now they have a designated children's program and have branched off from that with a children's farmers market program and all kinds of cool stuff for kids in our community.
And that started with just a little bit of seed money from us.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Now I believe they're currently not on your list of organizations that you're funding. So I mean,
right.
Where I'm going with this is, from what I saw of your model and read about beyond just preparing this discussion, but on your website and other information about you, was that your goal is not just to do sustainable funding for organizations. No organizations are not looking toward you as saying, okay, we understand you can commit $50,000 a year to our organization for the next 10 years, and that's going to cover X part of our overhead.
Unless there's an end game after the 10 years that increases the amount of services that can be provided, then we would probably not go into an agreement like that. Because eventually we want these charitable organizations to be able to stand on their own, to be able to have their own revenue streams, figure out how they can make the money. And you know, and along the way, we'll help them if we can. But we, like I said earlier, we at some point want to disengage.
So for the food bank, it was really a startup. Like, hey, we can plant this seed money, and over X amount of years, they're going to show us that they have that money revenue coming in based on their model. And they've done that. And so that's why we're not partnered with them anymore right now, is because they are running and successful at it. Is it difficult for them to raise money? Yes, because it's difficult to raise money. But at the same time, we did our job, and they're doing their job, and that's what matters.
Ernie, let's go. Hold on a second. We've got Garland from Atascadero. Thanks for your patience. You're on the air.
I don't know if you have the answer on this, but CASA is a great program. I was a volunteer for CASA when I was still very active before I retired. And one of the problems that I ran into was, as I began to retire, I didn't have the resources as a volunteer for CASA to be able to pay the expenses of what it costs, because you're paying for your gas, you're paying for taking the child out, you're doing all the things to help them. You're going to the school to be able to meet with the principal, meet with the teachers, help this child excel. And I don't know if the program has changed where they are helping the volunteers now, because that was one of the things that why I stopped volunteering for CASA, because I could not longer afford to use my own personal expenses to do it.
Well, that would be a program that CASA could put together and come to us and say, for us to create more, to be able to provide more services, we need to be able to reimburse expenses for volunteers. If they came to us with a program that showed how that would impact the level of service in North County, and it was a positive mm-hmm. paradigm. That's what we would do. I mean,
So, Garland, let me jump in and suggest maybe to Terry that if CASA could present to MUST an idea of how many volunteers they lost or potentially could lose based upon not having the volunteers, not having the resources that they need to do, then that would be a way of looking at what the cause and effect would be.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the small pieces.
I think that was very, very helpful. Yeah. As an example, one child that I helped, I live in Atascadero, lived in Shandon. So when I look at, I'm meeting with this child generally maybe 3 or 4 times a week. And then, you know, he's in school in Paso Robles. So I'm going to school in Paso Robles. And when you look at the cost for that volunteer over a period of time, it adds up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And asking for all of the costs to be reciprocated.
Yeah. Right.
But even a stipend.
Yeah. I would definitely reach out to CASA and talk to them about that. We really can't answer that question from their standpoint. You know, but
I do suspect, Garland, I suspect that Tom is probably still listening to the program. so it might get explored.
That's the reason why I'm not volunteering, because I got to tell you, it was the most worthwhile thing I ever did.
Yeah.
And like I said, at the time when I volunteered and became one, I was very happy in doing it. I saw the rewards from it. I saw the beauty of the program and how it helped the kids and to watch them excel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, only because my finances changed, I could no longer do it, and so I dropped out. Yeah. But I would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for the call and the emphasis on that. I think that it will probably get discussed very thoroughly. But so thanks very much for your contribution. Okay. All right, let's go to – sorry, that's a very good point, and I suspect Tom is probably still listening. If he isn't, somebody's already called him about
call
that.
Tom.
It brings up a very good point. Okay. Don from Atascadero, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. This is Don Clicker, and I'm driving, and now I'm stopping.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go. We're done. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, jump in once you're safe, okay?
Okay, I'm safe. This is Don Clickard. I'm executive director of the Atascadero Greyhound Foundation, and we're a program that does a number of different things. Our latest one is a Lighthouse Mentoring Program, which is high school kids mentoring sixth graders in pretty much character development, being good kids, learning how to make decisions, and lots of other things, and we're not going to talk about that. But the reason for my call was that we just met with Becky Gray and Steve Herring with the possibility that the Greyhound Foundation might become a project for MUST Charities. One of the things that has happened since that meeting, and whether or not MUST Charities takes us on as a project, we have begun a really, really good program to kind of revamp and revitalize our program. Our foundation board has just received surveys asking them about their interest in remaining on the board, how they see us, what they see our mission to be, or do they agree with the mission we have. And the executive board is going to meet Wednesday to discuss those surveys that we get from our board members. And we've also been working on the sustainability piece to get in line with what our bylaws tell us we should be doing about election of officers. We're out recruiting for people to do different positions that we've not filled. So I just wanted to say this publicly, that Becky, whatever happens as far as our relationship with your organization, you have already made us a better organization, and we'll be better able to serve the kids in North County.
Thank you. I think that's what Terry was talking about earlier, is even if we don't, you know, get donors to give to MUST, or we don't partner with a certain way, it's just allowing people to look at philanthropy different and make changes in our community for the better.
Okay. Good point. I wasn't quite sure where Don was going with that, so it's a very interesting point. I thought maybe he was just pitching his program specifically to you on the air. So
no,
that's good
he's
to know.
Okay. It's great that they're actually utilizing stuff, even just from conversations we're having. They're actually utilizing tools that we're giving them through those conversations and making changes.
Okay. We've got one other call right now. Teresa from San Luis Obispo, thanks for your patience.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. This is Teresa Tardif. I'm executive director of CASA, and I wanted to respond to the caller's concerns about the expenses of being a volunteer advocate.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Okay.
Yes. So the caller was concerned about the expenses, and certainly our county is spread out, and we do expect our volunteers, we want to have them be the consistent adult for that child, and unfortunately they do move around. When we make a match, we do our best to have a child matched with somebody with their own, in their own community, and for the most part, that happens, but because of the lack of foster homes, they can move around. And key to being a CASA volunteer is the concept that this is a volunteer position. It's not a paid position. And by doing that, it's considered a fresh look of a community member brought to an overburdened system. And we would love to be able to provide mileage for all of our volunteers. We do keep track of the mileage that they donate, which is somewhere around 25,000 miles a year, something like that. And not all of them reported, of course. But what we do have are some dedicated funds that are some different groups provide for special things for our kids. So when a volunteer does request that, we do have some funds where we can get them a gas card to help supplement that. And when the caller was a CASA, we may not have had that program at the time. We've been doing that for about the last 6 years.
Okay. Well, Teresa, I would suggest that you're probably easy for him to find, and if he's in your database, you may still be able to find him also.
I think we know who that is.
That would be a good connection to make, yeah.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks
and
for
I want
listening
to say
to the
thank
program.
You to MUST. Because of their support, we added right out the front, the beginning of the grant, a new supervisor in the North County, which has enabled us. She is between 25 and 30 volunteers who each are assigned to one or more kids. So it gave us a huge jump in the number of kids we serve.
Good to hear. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, some good calls.
Yeah.
Good conversations. Now, okay, we don't have a whole lot of time, and we skipped over it, so this is really, really, really important. Why is MUST spelled with a small M?
Because that's the way they created it, the designers created it. But I think people... Okay.
You didn't even look towards Terry when you said that to me.
I didn't, because like he was one of the founders. Really involved with that, the whole thing. Okay. But it's so funny. I mean, he was involved, but it's so funny because people right out of the gate say, well, what's the acronym for MUST? Like, they want it all capitalized. Like, we've become a world, like Echo. Like, we've become a world of acronyms. But, Terry, why don't you explain what is MUST? Because it's actually a wine term. So
I don't know. What is MUST? Is that something I'm supposed to know?
Okay, so MUST may be a wine term that Terry's not familiar with.
Yes.
Okay.
It was originally, it was, like I was telling you earlier, it was a bunch of winery owners.
Yeah.
And so one of them, we were knocking names around, and somebody said, well, what about MUST? And at the time, we thought we would be more of a winery organization, and now we're open to anybody who would like to come in. It's not as the duality of the naming isn't as important. It's just our name.
But it is a wine term, and it's kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually say this all the time, so I could be totally wrong. Because I'm
you're
not
on
a wine maker.
You're on the radio, you're on the record, it's an archived station. Okay.
It is basically everything coming together. So you've harvested, you're bringing everything together, and before what comes out of that, what that is the MUST, right?
I like
it's like
that.
The lees, the skin, the
like that.
Junk.
Go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
And okay. Then what?
Keep it on the PowerPoint.
It's on the PowerPoint. And then what comes out in the end is this beautiful product of wine, and that's kind of what happens with our organization. Is we're bringing a community together, all different walks of life, from the donor side to the philanthropy side that we're partnering with. And we're facing some pretty incredible challenges as far as social issues that our community has. But what we're seeing come out of it is actually something beautiful when it comes together, when it all comes together. It is also the exclamation point, because you didn't ask about that. You asked about lowercase, but...
Well, I overuse exclamation points anyway, so I would never ask about that
so
one.
So you're one of those shouting email people? So it's also the call to action. We must do something. We must give back, because we can't wait for policymakers to do it for us. We have to be a grassroots organization and do it for ourselves.
Yeah. I overuse quotation marks and exclamation points all the time.
I'm a dash overuser. I love the dash.
I'm a dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
What's your gift?
I try not to write.
Yeah. I send emails by bullet points because people read all the bullet points, even if it's the last one on the page.
That's
anyway,
true.
Okay. We have beat that part to death. Thank you very much. But it had to be out there, so I'm glad we did that. As most of our listeners know and some of our guests have known before, I try and make sure the last few minutes gives me a way to get out of the way because I talk too much. And management at KCBX will tell you I talk too much. So I'll give you all a few minutes. Kyle, why don't we start with you? What do you want to make sure that we walk away from knowing about MUST and maybe the things we haven't covered?
I think I can talk from a personal standpoint. I got involved. I've worked with Becky for years, and then she left an organization that I was tied to, and I cried. And she said, it's not the end. And she called me a couple years later and said, here's what I'm doing. One way or another, we're going to find a way to work together. And here I am. It's totally different from my day job, but it speaks to me. I'm a North County girl, born and raised. I love the idea that we're making a difference in the North County. Although there's ripple effects countywide and regionally, our focus is the North County. I love the fact that the executive board is so gracious to help pay for my time so that when I donate each month, that goes right to our community, 100% of it. And then, of course, I love working with Becky. But I think that's what's so appealing about it is that, I see the work that goes behind it, but I don't have to think about it when I do decide to donate every month. I know that it's being managed. I know that it's accountable, and I know that it's all going someplace good.
Okay. Terry.
Oh, I don't know. There's so many topics. But I think things that I would like people to know about MUST is, number one, we encourage business owners and people that are donating to figure out ways to bring money from outside the area in so that we're not necessarily cutting up the philanthropic money pie that's already here, but we're generating new revenue. And wineries have the ability to do that. I make most of my money from people across the country or outside of Paso. All the money that I'm donating through my business into MUST Charities is newfound money. It would not have been in the philanthropic world had I not done this. I feel very, very proud of the fact that we've got a lot of wins under our belt now with the collaborations that we've done, and it's because of these two guys that are sitting here, Kyle and Becky. We're extremely fortunate as an organization to have two such talented people working for us. It's true.
We're smirking.
Continue, Terry.
I'm proud of the concept. I think the concept is actually starting to gain traction, and people are starting to understand what we're doing. So I'm thrilled about that, and I like the fact that I think that it's actually helped our community of charitable organizations provide better services, not just the people that we've necessarily helped directly, but I think it's raising the tide for all organizations.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Who are your other founders?
You want to?
Doug and Sabrina Cruz with Jack Creek Cellars, Eric Jensen with Booker, and Scott Hawley with Torin Cellars. And then Terry. And then Rabobank was a big player when we first started.
Rabobank underwrote a lot of our meetings and kind of the development phase when we were trying to figure out who we were going to be and what we were going to do. And they were very gracious in underwriting that for us. Right. The other thing that people should know is that unless you're on the executive board and you give money to MUST, 100% of the money that you give is going to go into one of our programs. Now, if you're on the executive board, that's a different story. But
if you want to be on the executive board, bring your checkbook first.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine. That's
Right, and some I've rolled off. I've rolled off the executive board, but I still earmark my money for the administrative costs because they're doing such a great job raising money. It's probably 5-1 the return that I'm getting on that.
That's great. Okay, Becky, as the executive director, we decided to let you have the last word, except for my closing the program.
I hope I get it all in the amount of time. I think it's important to know that in just 5 years since, so even though the conversations were happening 2009, 2010, way back when, it was 2012 when I was officially hired and we actually like moved forward with our talking points and what we were going to do. But in just 5 short years, we've been able to invest over $1.5 million into the North County, which is huge. I also want to talk about, you notice, I think only one person mentioned it, but we don't give grants. We're not a grant organization. I think that's big for people to know. We partner with people, and you could look at it as evocative giving. Some people like to... Yeah, okay. it's different. It's instead of a handout, it's a hand up. We're really coming alongside. We're getting involved in the organization's business model, what they're doing, helping them think outside the box. It's more than a check. And I think that's important to know because people often wonder, you know, well, can I apply for your grant? And we don't give grants. So sure, you can apply for whatever you want, but we're not going to give a grant. But I think, too, another way to look at it is it's kind of like – you could compare it to venture capitalism, but it's venture philanthropy. And so people are investing in, they're pooling funds to invest in something to see a return on their investment. But instead of a positive cash return, we're looking at a positive social return in our community.
Crowdfunding philanthropy.
Can you trademark that word?
Venture philanthropy. You know what? I stole it. Every good idea comes from somewhere else. I do a lot of reading, and there's a lot of organizations
No, that's
It was in an article I read, but I loved the concept. It's like, oh, this is what we do.
Yeah. So. Very good point. Thank you all. I appreciate it today. This has been Central Coast Voices. I'm glad you've been part of the program. I'm glad we've been part of this discussion with you. And next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here, and she'll be talking with guests from Transitions Mental Health Association and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And they'll be talking about local suicide prevention efforts, especially suicide prevention efforts for young people. It is something that we know, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, too much about. It'll be a serious topic and certainly less lighthearted than our conversation today. But join Chris next week. I'll be back with you in 2 weeks. As I've told you many times before, Central Coast Voices is a project of Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX under the guidance of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. We put out a report every 3 years called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. It's available at actionslo.org. It's a full report. You can pick up any pieces you want and take a look at it. It is no charge for that, and it's available as a downloadable report or a reviewable report online. And the last report was completed in December of 2016, so it's fresh material, reasonably fresh material for a major study. Want to thank Joan Gellert Sargent for underwriting the program. She's been doing that for a long time, and we appreciate her support. If you want to talk to Action for Healthy Communities and or Voices of Central Coast Voices, you can find us at voices@kcbx.org or 543-2323. This is Central Coast Voices. I want to thank my guests, Becky, Kyle, Terry, today. We had a wonderful, lively program, and we appreciate it. This has been Central Coast Voices. Thank you for joining us.